to the Harvest Word Assembly, the city of refuge, where all can find and dwell in God's love, where destinies are aligned and lives are transformed by the raw, undiluted power of God. Under the leadership of Prophet Gbenga Shafe, we gather today not just for service, but for an encounter. Get ready, heaven is open, the word is alive, and your miracle is now.
Let's welcome Reverend Timothy. Please keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Keep clapping.
Good morning, church. Please be seated. Thank you, Pastor, Apostle, Prophet Shafe. Thank you for having me share this moment with you. Thank you, Mama. I enjoyed very rich but brief fellowship with both of them last night when I arrived in the country. And they were sorry for me, but I was sorry for them. I'm glad that I had a very restful night. So I'm here to share fellowship with you also. Thank you also, church, for coping with your pastor. Supporting him, encouraging him, and helping to give direction to the ministry of the gospel that is committed to his hand. And let me thank your neighbor for being a good neighbor in this service. What a wonderful opportunity and privilege given me this morning to bring God's word to you. I understand for some time now, God has been deliberately speaking to you as a church from Genesis chapter 1. And I believe very strongly that if we understand what God says in Genesis, we can figure out what to do with the rest of the Bible. God is a creative God, but his creation is not arbitrary. God is involved in every bit and pieces of every creation he has put together. And God does not make frivolous, unintentional, careless utterances just to make us feel good. Does not make temporary plans so that when things come together later, he can fix it. Whatever the Lord does, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, abides forever. There's a permanence, not just in his creation, but in his creativity. And of course, the Bible tells us in Psalms 33, I think verse 11, that the counsel of God are preordained of old. It is not something that came to him by accident. Not something he bumped into out of research. God does not need to research anything. Praise God. However, this morning, I want to go back to your Genesis chapter 1. And just bring one or two body in my heart to share with you. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to read verse 26 to 28. Precious Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We ask, Lord, that you will come through in our midst. Reveal your purposes and plans. Cause ours to align with yours. So that at the end of the day, the glory goes to you. The services rendered by us honors your name. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, I'll read for New Living Translation to start with. God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. To be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that crawling along the ground. So, God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that are scurry along the ground. The word of the Lord. I've titled my time together with you on what I call divine alignment with God's global intent. Divine alignment with God's global intent. When do you normally need alignment? For those of you who drive, when do you normally need alignment? When will your mechanic recommend alignment? I like answer. I'm a teacher. When you just replace your tires. Thank you. That's one time. Any other time that you need alignment? If you are travel a distance and you are bumped into bumpy roads and all those kind of things, the driver is recommended to go and do alignment. Any other time? Come on. You have to bring your thinking cap to church. All right. So any other time you do alignment? Or you just drive in Lagos. Car pushers. You are car pushers in Lagos. When next do you do alignment? When you change your tire? When you travel a long distance? When you change your brake pads? Something that functions with your wheels. And let me get one more. Any other time when you change your alignment? When you notice that your car is going left, when you are guiding it to go right, you know the car is making a mind of its own clear. And you have to tame that mindset to come in conformity with the owner of the car or the driver of the car. God wants our lives aligned with his intent. Some of us, we have rough road travel in our life, even though we are young. Some of us, we've had unpleasant exposure to negative drama of this generation. Some of us, we are in a position where God is giving us a new opportunity to make a mark, to make a difference. Some of us, we are in a situation where we think we bump into a novel idea, something new, but we're not sure how it will pan out, especially when you compare that with the purpose and the will of God. So in a sense, we need alignment to get us in line with the intent of God. Like you said to me, when the driver wants the car to face left, right side of the road, and the car, without permission, begins to travel into the middle and to the left, you know that the driver will do a better job of saving his life by going for alignment. God's plan from the foundation of the world is to have a prototype of himself on earth. What God intended from that passage we read in Genesis, from the day one, he said, let them be like us. Every other thing emanates from that. Every other thing comes from being like him. being like him. You know, sometimes you see a young boy, you say, you are the son of so-so person. Why are you saying that? Because there's a resemblance. God's goal was to have God's kind of man on earth. God's goal was to have a man or woman that will rule and reign in the realm of nature. So basically, God wanted to concern himself with the heavens and any created world to be given to man. Look at the way he put it in that verse 28. God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. What's the next sentence? Fill the earth and govern it. Another translation says, subdue the earth and control it. So from day one, God's intention was to have a man or human that he will not bother himself managing the earth with. He can fix whatever is going on. Sadly, when God's intent was released, when God's intent was announced, it was as if it's undoable. It was as if it's not possible. So God's infinite project, God's design in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, was an announcement. Announcement back up with possibilities. And at that point, the conception of humanity was a person who will represent God in all spheres of life. However, when you read Genesis 20, chapter 1, and you read to the end, you realize that it looks as if something is not yet together in that plan. So in Genesis 1, God set the earth in place, announced his plan to have a man in charge. And in Genesis chapter 2, we open to a new drama. What's the drama? God documents the execution of his plan. In Genesis chapter 2, can you turn to me to verse 4? Genesis chapter 2, put it on the screen for me. Genesis chapter 2. This is the account of the creation of heavens and earth. Again, to say this, you know, when you are writing thesis, you have a summary. Good. He said, this is the account of the creation of heaven and the earth. What account is he talking about? When the Lord made the heavens and the earth. It looked like tautology. No. This is the account of the creation of heaven and the earth, where as at the time God made heaven and the earth. Go ahead. Neither wild plants nor grains were growing on earth. The Lord had not yet sent rain to water the earth. There were no people to cultivate it. So which means that Genesis chapter 1 verse 26-28 we read earlier on was a proposal. Because here it says that when God was done with the earth, there was nobody, no person to cultivate it. But what was God saying in Genesis 1? Man will be in charge, we cultivate, we govern, we rule. Are you with me? Go ahead with the scripture now. Instead, spring came up from the ground and water all the land. So which means that God cannot be stranded. So if you are given an assignment, you are not fulfilling it, God will find alternative to getting it done. Because the heart has not yet been bringing no rain. And who made the rain? God. But God, as at that time, God has not given rain the order to which it can function. So what did God do? And yet the heart needs, vegetation needs water. So the Bible says, God caused springs to come up from the ground and water all the land. Next. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. This spectacular drama, the entire heaven was watching. Because of all that God had done before now, it was by speech. Of all that God has done before now, it was by utterance. But suddenly, God got to work. And I won't say whether he bent down, but since the ground, the earth, is on the on beneath. I assume he stepped down, got a finger dirty, molded. Keep that scripture for me. Molded, molded, molded. The Bible say the law formed. Another translation says molded the man from where? From the dust. Quick lesson there. All your yanga, all your shakara, you are not worthier than the dust in the hand of God. So the dust became something. And when it has a form, the Bible says God breathed a breath of life, breath of life into the man's nostril. The man became a living soul. The beauty of this for me is that it is the life God gives you that defines your journey in life. Until God breathed into that cadaver, until God breathed into that clay, it was not different or better than any other species of clay in the ground. So God breathed unto it, and it became what? A living soul. Then the man became a living soul. Next one. Then the Lord said. Did he say? What did you read? The strength of our lives is to just line up our lives with what God is planning. The Lord God, after forming the man, what did he do? He planted. The garden was not Adam's creation. Some of you are trying to scheme to succeed in life. Some of you are trying to manipulate the system to take advantage of each other. It's not necessary. The garden was not planted by Adam. The garden was planted by God. Look at it now. You know they read Bible. Look at it. Where's that man who's in charge of Bible? Are you missing it? You want? No, they have seen enough on my face. Let me read Bible. The Lord God, read for me. The Lord God planted a garden. No, we usually say garden of Eden. It's not garden of Eden. There is a garden in Eden. Are you hearing me? The religious mind that the British colonial brought Bible to us. Garden of Eden, garden of Eden. There's nothing like that. There is a garden in Eden. So God planted the garden where? In the Eden. Where? The east and there. Everybody read the last phrase. And there. Your divine placement set you apart from the rest of the world. Your divine placement makes a difference what you become in life. I mean, I've seen people who left Nigeria, Japa, and they are washing plates, and they are not surviving in the last 5 years. I've seen people who have better job, good job. They even have drivers in Nigeria. Sold everything, they went abroad. Stranded in life. Because they are not placed in the east of their garden. The Lord placed Adam where? In the east of the garden in Eden. If you want your life to matter, enough to a point where God can own the process and the product, first settle in the place of his placement. So Adam was placed in the garden. Let's read further. The Lord made all sorts of trees and grow up the grand trees that were beautiful, produced deliciously in the middle of the garden, the tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. I do not have time to look at that verse today because that verse is a whole teaching. This verse 9. But I want to know that Adam was not given empty land. It was not given empty garden. There's provision for both spiritual, intellectual, and spiritual growth for Adam in that garden. Again, I say, it's not my talk today. Go back to verse 8 with me. Go back to verse 8. Yes. So the Lord planted the garden and put Adam in the garden. In the east of Eden, the garden was located, and Adam was living there. So Adam has a place to be located if God is looking for him. You claim to belong to God, but in the divine GPS, we can't locate you in the kingdom. You sing, you dance, you belong to church, but in GPS of God, we can't figure out how to track you because we can't place you. By the way, what is GPS? Geographic positioning system. It's not correct. It's God positioning strategy. Adam could be traced. Adam could be located. Adam could be, that was the day things scattered. God said, where are you? We know where we meet. We know our rendezvous. There's somewhere that when, you know, throw high five. Where are you? So within the garden, within the earth is Eden. Within Eden, a garden. Within the garden, a place for you. Will you bow your head and say, Lord, keep me positioned where you can always gain access to my life. Access. When God does not have access to you, then there's problem. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Right. So now we know that the restraint we suffer in life are not necessarily God made. Sometimes because of mislocation or misalignment. Sometimes what we are going through that looks like all the whole world is caving in on you, it's not because Satan particularly has power to do it, but because your alignment is not correct. There's more space in God-given garden of your life for you to thrive. Grace from God for you to enjoy. Blessings from heaven for you to dispense. But you cannot fully tap into these things unless and until you find your alignment with the initial intent of God. When humanity started, we started on a blank check. Take over, govern, rule. Your word is the law. Whatever you dictate happens. When humanity started in the garden, we started as the Lord of the manor. Nobody can query us successfully until we gave up the right to reign and we lost alignment with God. That was when Genesis chapter 3 happened. We didn't just lose a space in Genesis chapter 3. We lost our essence. Human beings didn't just lose the garden. Human beings didn't just lose the garden in Eden. We lost the essence of free spirit that honor God. The spirit that honors each other and the place of true value in relationship. Integrity in social contract and joy in living to please God. We lost beyond the garden. We lost what humanity should be like. God wants us back to the original plan. That's why the journey to recovery, as a ministry this year, the Lord spoke to us, it's going to be a year of full recovery. And one of the things we are looking at is how you can come to a state of penury, frustration, completely taken out of your place, and yet God bring you back in full force. There's a journey God wants us to embark on so that this alignment can happen. As Christians, are you a Christian? As Christians, we have to grow in a way that allow us to see God and what God sees about us. Sometimes we read Bible to look for what we can garnish and enjoy. Sometimes we read Bible to look for what we can treasure or what we can trash, depending on whether it suits us. A godly perspective matters for you if you are going to have alignment. Because if your car begins to move, I'm coming, I'm on the right side of the road, and suddenly, I have a reason to pick my phone or to do something, and just momentarily, my hand is off the wheel, and the car starts to go to the left or go to the gutter. You know that the alignment is bad. And that's what happened in your life when, just because you didn't come to church for 2 Sundays, you're already living in sin. Just because no brother check on you, no sister call on you, you claim you are already choked with evil. Just feel occasional absence from the brethren. You need alignment. Because without it, we will miss God completely. We run into the terrible tragedy of missing out in life. What we desire from God is to be His child individually and His children as a body and live for Him on this path of eternity. But that was really what He wanted anyway. The Bible says God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Unfortunately, what He wants, what we need to do, are not aligning. We are constantly pursuing our own agenda at the expense of God's desire. But there's more to you than meet the eyes. You are not what we just see cased in a nice gown and nice shirt. What is cased inside that nice shirt, well-groomed face, and well manicured nails, what we see is not who you are. Those are tiny bits of how you added something to original you. You know, original you is colorless and yet colorful. Powerful yet submissive. Glorious yet humble. The original you tolerates people, accommodates people so that they can be what they need to be without forcing them to be like you. So, there is a God who has a mission for your life. And the mission of God on earth is not what we do when we are done. You know what? Can I repeat that? The mission of God is not what you do when you are done. I meet a lot of young people. Many years ago, as a young person, I had a good job in Kaduna. If you have a job that you have to build your own, you collect company money, build your own house the way you like. And you bought your own brand new car. And I was comfortable enough that When I resigned that job, there were about 26 unused tickets from Kaduna, Lagos that they found in my luggage as we were just packing. My children saw one of my tickets, 26 Naira, Kaduna, Lagos. They said, "Daddy, is this a tip or for the cart?" Trolley. I said, "No, that's the actual cost of the ticket." Then came a moment I was in Alagma Close. There's a very quiet guest house in Alagma Close. Nobody messed around with that place. It was owned by BP of the olden days, acquired by AP. And that's where I normally say, no prostitute come near there. No intransigences allowed. You as well have to drive through Alagma Close like this. It's the fourth hour to the end of the close. I was in that guest house. I was doing my morning devotion. God can be dangerous. I was doing my morning devotion and the Holy Spirit said to me, "The little the righteous has is better than both hands filled." One thing led to another in that conversation that day. I told God, "Yes, I know you have a call upon my life, but," he said, "that but has just canceled what you just said." So I immediately recreated my sentence. I said, "You have a plan for my life, and that hand didn't have a conclusion." I finished my devotion. I went to VI to see one or two of the people I needed to see in Lagos. I went to Shangisha, Shasha, where I was having a project of building a house for some. I was also involved in real estate development. I have one in Shagamo. So when I come like this, and I hate Lagos. If I stay in Lagos to be alive, if I don't stay in Lagos, I come in the morning and go back in the evening. In fact, when I'm leaving airport in Kaduna, I give the gate the security man my car key. So because they know I'm coming back the last flight. 540. Flight 540. They know I will come back. But that day, that flight to Lagos was a defining moment for my life. And suddenly it occurred to me that as young people, we think we can work for God when we are done with everything we need to do. We think we can work for God when we are resolved. Oh, I want to marry. I want to marry. I want to have children. When my children are in school, we have plan for God based on our plan for ourselves. So let me repeat what I said to you. God's mission is not what you do when you are done. Sister, did you just say what I said? Tell your neighbor what I just said. God's mission is not what you do when you are done. Now, the conclusion is that it is what you do to say you are done. It is what you do to say you are done. So, in life, God's priority, God's mission, God's program, what did he have in mind in Genesis? It should be what we are busy pursuing with our lives. I want to give you time to pray. So let me just leave you with four basic lessons you can go with from that Genesis we read. Number one, God's intent was missional and global from day one. God's intent was missional and what? Global from day one. Look at the words he used in Genesis 1, 26, 27, we read. "Let us make man in our image." That's whatever I'm doing, I want man to do it. Whatever I look like, I want man to look like it. Whatever I'm able to make happen, I want man to be able to do that. So let him be in our image. Let him be expression. That's why I said I think it might be in this book. This is one of my books. I have a few copies left. I said, God's finest breakthrough, achievement, and success story is creation of man. Every other thing that God made didn't look like him. In essence, in beauty, in power, in authority, in control, in dominion, nothing looks like God in all he made. 6 days of labor, none of the product looked like him until the seventh day. And that should let you know that the first day man showed up on earth, he didn't show up to work. Did you hear me? The first day man showed up on earth, he didn't show up to work. So hustling to survive is not divine intention. Work is supposed to be a pleasure towards a purpose. Let make my enemy. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So from day one, God's intent for us is missional. He has a mission. He has a purpose. And he said dominion over all the earth. Dominion was global. Dominion was complete. Humanity was created in his image. God brought man to existence to govern all the earth. So where sin and Satan are ruling, you are called upon to voice out the position of God and achieve his goal. The fractured image of man that we see today is a reflection of the fall of man. Because in Genesis chapter 3, when man fell, as I just pointed out a while ago, it was not the loss of garden that mattered. It was the loss of our essence. Our ability to reason reasonably well like God. Our ability to process information without unnecessary biases. Our joyful accommodation of people and getting them to be the best they can be around us. Because God wanted Adam to be the best he could be. Violence, pride, and all those obnoxious activities going on in the world were not the original plan. So if we must reconcile, if we must realign, then we must go back to the original thing. What's the original thing? Dominion based on global conquest and missional enterprise around the universe. Jesus called us to follow him. But do you know what the Bible called Jesus? The Bible called him the last Adam. That's in 1 Corinthians 45 and 47. The Bible called Jesus the last Adam. What does that mean? Whatever the first Adam failed to accomplish, the last Adam reinstituted to you. That's why I say, come follow me, I will make you. The making of man that God started in the garden is reactivated in the gospel. What does that say to you? Be mindful of what you do with every opportunity God gives you. Because world evangelization is God's way of reclaiming the lost connection with man. Second thing point I want to leave with you is God's plan is from the garden to the nations. So, from the garden to the nations. Because if you look at it, in that verse 28 of Genesis 1, it says, be fruitful and fill the earth. So, you can't fill the earth if you are stationary in one place. So what God was saying to Adam is, the garden is your house. Eden is your city. The earth is your territory. I'm putting you in the garden not to make you a local champion. I'm putting you in the garden not to limit you to a space that is controlled. And you see, sometimes you are comfortable when you can manage some crisis. Have you heard people say, this is my headache? Have you heard people say things like that? Is this my menstrual cramp? Is your own? Menstrual cramp is your own? Oh, is this my nagging headache, especially it's about this time of the month? Oh, why is it that you have acquired so much of what God didn't plan for you? And you appropriate them so well that they become identifiable with you. You know, some sisters, some brothers, when they are sick, people can say, it has come again. Because they have associated them with certain terrible things. But the goal of God from beginning is not that you are limited in the garden and the space in the garden, but you have access to the world. Dominion. That God's plan was ruthlessly violated in Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. They say, oh God, oh boy, we no go go. We no go go. We no go. We are not going to allow this strange assignment to weigh us down. We are not going anywhere. Bring water. Bring sand. We'll go and meet him. We'll go and meet. So Babel was not just a rebellion against God. It's a refusal to do mission. Because God said, spread yourself to the whole world. They say, we are stand. Stand up for Babel. This is where we stay. That's their song. Humanity decided to redraw the geography made by God. So there's no drama, therefore, when you think of what God did immediately after Babel. God singled Abraham out. In Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, call Abraham. The call of God to Abraham was a recreation, a realignment program taken off. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Where is he asking to go? To a land that what? The land that, talk to me now, you know they read Bible. The land that I will, what God is saying is that we are going to be on a journey together. I'm going to dictate the pace. I'm going to dictate the pace. I'm going to be the one showing you the direction. You know, yesterday when they were taking me to my guest house, we missed one turn. And because we missed that one turn, we go merry-go-round, and they gave me unnecessary, unrequired tour of GRA. I enjoy it, but that was not the plan for that hour. Some of you are enjoying what you are doing, but that's not the plan of God for your life. That's not the plan of God for your life. Although you enjoy it, he gives you money. If he gives me money, if he pay my bill, you are not set up to pay bills in life. You are set up to fulfill purpose in life. Where you pay my bill, you put food on my table. You see people working so hard. Why are you working so hard? Man must work. You see people eating plenty. Say, why are you? Man must work. You eat to work. You work to eat. That is not the plan of God. Tell your neighbor for me. So God had to rearrange his story by singling Abraham out. Let's start again the missionary journey. I'm going to take you somewhere, but I'm not going to give you. You see, there's a difference between map and compass. Yes. Map is a pre-established route. Compass is a guidance on the direction. God said, I will give you a journey. I'm going to make a journey for you. So watch out. I'm going to show you where you will go. So why Abraham obey? Then verse 3, Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will treat them with contempt. You see, I don't fight people. Lie against me, malign me, do. I've seen enough in over 40 years of ministry, but I don't struggle. You know why? This scripture is good. You hold me in contempt to your own detriment. You malign me to your own failure. Because as long as I'm on this journey that I'm not controlling and God is controlling, He is the one guiding. He is the pilot. Remember what I told you, GPS? What GPS? God positioning strategy. So, He said, and all, everybody read the last sentence. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. What God wanted Adam to do. And the whole generation rebelled against, from Abel and Cain to Noah that slept with his daughter. All kinds of drama just to frustrate the plan of God. God said, there is a possibility of alignment. Abraham, Yeshua, get out. Be a species representing what I've been looking for this morning. I believe that God wants you to be that species that God has been looking for. The third thing I want you to go away with is that when there is a proper sacrifice, there's appropriate reconciliation. When there's what? Proper sacrifice, there's what? Appropriate reconciliation. Because in Genesis chapter 3, God caused the animal to be slaughtered in order to cover the shame and the nakedness of Adam and his wife. And God made a pronouncement. He said, your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. That pronouncement is a promise that God continues to fulfill till today. We see that in Adam and Abel. We see that in Noah. We see that in Abraham and Isaac. We see that in the Passover lamb itself. But let me ask you something. If the Bible offers us a chance to see the world reconciled to God, nobody will do that successfully that is not aligned with God. The reason why the work of God, you are wondering why many of your generation, many people, they are just, look, 90% of social media drama is about foolishness. But why is it so? Because those who claim to know Christ, they are not aligned properly with His purpose. Because you are the kind of thing you want. You want followers. You want likes. But your followers and likes, they don't like nor follow what you are doing. But you are not consistent enough until that becomes a reality. Reconciliation, any accountant here? When you talk about bank reconciliation statement, what does you mean? You are trying to match the bank statement with your cash ledger and journal, and you are trying to see the check. So you have three or four things you are moving around to say, okay, we issued this check on the 27th. They did not present it that month. It means you show up in the next month. Am I right? So it's unpresented check. Then you see the other one that you have paid in on the 29th and did not reflect that month. What do you call it? Unclear check. So you are constantly making sure that if you say our bank's balance is 1.9 million, that means there are this part of it that is hanging out there. That's part of it that need to go out here. What are you doing? You are trying to have sameness in your figures. I challenge you this morning. If you want to see a change, align yourself. Do your reconciliation with God. And let's watch whether when we pronounce you as Christian, we can say you are a Christian. The fourth thing I want to leave with you, because of time, is We are the evidence of God's ability to stage a comeback. Did you hear me? What did I say you are? We are the evidence of God's ability to stage a comeback. Hallelujah. You know, God is not overtly worried. Bible says, let all men be liars. God is not overtly perturbed. 1,000 may fall on the right, 10,000. God don't send them. But you know, when a life is aligned with God, God will set the pattern. When a life is aligned with God, God changes the narratives. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, if you want to see a complete game-changing lifestyle, look at a man who is aligned with God. You may steal his candy. You may rob him of his position, but you can't deny his essence. Dominion in Christ is a restoration. Dominion in Christ is realignment of all of us back to the original plan of God. It's God's way of saying, we're starting again. It's God's way of saying, we can make it happen one more time. And that's why the Holy Spirit plays a leading role in guiding us in all we do. Bible says, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, it will do what? Guide you into how many things? All truth. So when the Spirit comes, the Spirit coming is not forced to speak in tongues. It will provide direction. My mother didn't go to school. The only thing she read before she died was Bible. She taught herself how to read and write using Bible. No school education. I inherited her bio as part of my inheritance. Everything, all the girls, you know, there were only two boys for her, or three. So everybody carried it, but I carried her Bible. But what shocked me is that when my mother gave her life to Christ, our pastor is still alive. When my mother gave her life to Christ, they used to put Oweyo cowries inside their money, the one they tie for that big one where they put the money change in. They used to put, they have name for it, you know what I'm talking about. It's okay. And when she gave her life to Christ, she removed all those cowries, threw them away, and I speak death to you in Jesus' name. Him, to them. They say she will did. My mother bought land. They said this. My mother was tired building house. Listen to me and listen well. If you are in Christ, how many things pass away? All things pass away. How many things become new? All things. When we went for my mother's funeral, I got the shock of my life. We finished the service. We did interment. And we are just, all the children were putting sand out to out, dust to dust. The pastor did everything. And we're about to leave. And suddenly, yeah, hey, Yalona, leave the road. They are coming. My heart sank. Who are they? Suddenly, some women came. Say, Thor, what's happening here? Their leader said, Aopade leshe Jesu. Ibiti hakoni. 54 women that my mother led to Christ came to honor her at the graveside. My mother didn't go to theology school. With all your knowledge of Bible, in up in this and that. Not one soul can trace their life to you. 54 women gather around the grave. I was in tears of joy. Tears. I was in tears. I just did like this. Mouth open. Eyes wide. Then they now, to show me that they have drank from that woman's fountain, they sang my mother's two funeral songs. O yigi yigi, olu orun, atoba jaye, eleda ongbogbo, gbogbo agbaye, iba morikire, baoni, iba te. They sang mama's song. Say, talk, God. Don't shame me. Oh. This woman, no go school. Didn't have Bible school. Didn't have app. Didn't have, what else do you have here? Concordance. But almost the entire market, key leaders were targeted for salvation. You know what? I believe very strongly, brothers and sisters, that it's not of him that runs, not of him that wills, but of the Lord that shows mercy. When the Holy Spirit comes, he didn't say if Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. Some of you, all you are teaching is how to make more money. And let me tell you something. As to making of money, there's no end to it. In this my small life, I've heard $2.3 million physical cash in this country. There's a bank you to call BCC, BCCI, Bank of Credit and Commerce. Eh? International BCCI, thank you. I carry that money, go deposit for the bank to use for my company. That was the level of trust I enjoy. My boss got one big job. They pay us in dollar. And unfortunately, let me even tell you, for every dollar, that time is only 85 naira. Sorry, 85 kobo. 85 kobo. For every dollar, 85 kobo. I still remember my first international travel. I bought 250 naira as foreign money I want to use. I bought in naira. For 250 naira, I paid $285. Naira, one naira is stronger than $1. So when I say I carry 1.something million, don't think it was big money that time. But it was big because the brand new car I was using is 425 naira. Brand new. Tear rubber. Listen to me. If you are chasing things, the more you acquire, the less you will attain satisfaction. We need to pray. But let me tell you, there is enough for you to understand that the alignment we are talking about in Genesis is going to make itself clear when we read the last book of the Bible. Because the Bible says, from all nations, all tribes, all tongues, gather before the throne men who are redeemed, men who are rescued from the power of sin. If you want to live a life that fits into God's intent in Genesis, begin to live a missional life deliberately and intentionally today. In creation, through the fall, through the blood, through the cross, through the spirit, God has given us a ministry to the world. And you don't have to be a pastor to fulfill this call. Will you want to pray now? The way I want to pray is very simple. I want to ask the Lord, let my life count for what counts for you. That's a simple prayer. I don't know how you pray it. You may pray it in tongues, you may pray it in English, maybe in Yoruba. It doesn't matter to me. But pray that prayer, Lord, let my life count for what counts for you. If God answered this prayer, then the rest of your life will be a testimony. Lord, let my life count for what truly counts for you. Lord, let my life count for what truly counts for you. Lord, let my life count what truly counts for you. That's a prayer. Not a long prayer. Not a very elaborate, confusing prayer. Just a simple prayer. Lord, I beg you, let my life count for what truly counts for you.
You have received the word and heaven has marked your moment. This week, you will move in divine speed, divine favor, and undeniable testimonies. Go forth as a proof of prophecy. For more information, visit our website at www.theharvestword.org. See you again, and until then, keep soaring.